attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open this Saturday morning. And if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call the number, toll-free number, that is, too, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And we are broadcasting live on Saturday mornings. If you're listening at some other time other than between 8 and 8:52 on Saturday mornings, it's a replay of the show. They do replay it on some of the stations Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. That would be mainly 570, 910. Replays it on Sunday in Tampa on 5 o'clock on Sunday. So if you hear something you want someone else to hear or know about, maybe tell them about the show if they're not listening now to the Sunday rebroadcast show. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, host of Ask an Attorney for over 34 years, the longest running continual program in Florida. And I'm glad to do it. I'm glad to come in every week, usually on multiple stations. Also, we have a show on early Sunday mornings on another station, not the ones I'm broadcasting from today, but we do lots of radio on weekends. And we're glad to do it. It's just a way to help people. Hey, something happened to you this week? Something that's just not right. Just not right. And you want to know what your legal options are, or what the legal strategy might be, or just a path to follow or do something. Hey, listen or call. Lots of I've had many people tell me they listen to the show all the time. And they really were in the middle of something. They had no idea what to do. And they heard someone else call in with a similar problem, and they had some good direction to follow. So you have a toll-free number. You can call about anything. Doesn't even have to be a legal situation. It could just be a problem of some sort. I'd be glad to try to guide you through it. And if you want to write down this number and be our first caller, that would be great. 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Broadcasting today from Jacksonville. We broadcast one or two times a month from Jacksonville. The rest of the times we're broadcasting from Tampa. We have offices, of course, in both places. And glad to meet clients. We don't charge anything for our first meeting, particularly in the area of estate planning. So if it's within our practice area, we don't mind giving you that first appointment to discuss and make some decisions. We also have offices in Central Florida. 90.3 FM is one of the stations in Central Florida. That's coming out of Landmark Baptist Church in Haines City, Florida. And we have stations that carry the program in Sarasota, Pasco County, Trinity. There are about 12 stations around Florida that carry the program right now. So, again, if you have a question, all you have to do is call 877-943-9673. Let's go to Tony calling from Jacksonville. Hey, Tony.
Hey, good morning. Good
morning.
Hey, Joe, I have a question. My daughter attended college down in South Florida, Fort Lauderdale area.
Mm-hmm.
And last week she had an involving car accident. I think young man, probably about 16 years old, and he hit my daughter's car. And he has car insurance called United Auto Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And I called the United Auto Insurance Company, and they said that they didn't recognize the young man, and that was not his car. That was his mom's car.
Right.
And the United Auto Insurance, they're not going to do nothing about it because it's not registered to him. And he doesn't have insurance with them. At this case, what we got to do?
Well, it's not him that's covered. It's the car. I mean, the car is insured. So basically, I think you might need an attorney to contact the insurance company if you've gotten as far as you can get without a good result. I think the parents are responsible, and their insurance should cover it, is my opinion. But if they're not, how much is the damages?
Probably worth about $3,500.
Well, you can go to small claims court yourself, or you can hire an attorney to at least write a letter to the insurance company. I think those would probably be your two options.
Okay. Otherwise, I have to use my insurance to cover up, fix her car.
Well, was the accident reported to your insurance company?
My daughter did report it to my insurance company, yeah.
Yeah, so why don't you pursue your insurance company? Maybe they will pay you, and maybe they'll seek reimbursement from the other company themselves.
Okay, that's
yeah,
what I should call.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, I would call your insurance company first, yes.
Okay, because I mean, the United Auto Insurance, really, their response so slow. It happened last week, and the adjuster, I mean, is not even calling back, and it's so slow, and I've been talking with them, and they say, well, this auto insurance policy is under his mom's name, and the mom did not give him permission to drive their car. He went drive out. But I think it still is.
They're still responsible, so, I mean, you're just going to have to get some help to enforce that. In your insurance company, do you have anything in writing from this company?
What's that?
Do you have anything in writing from this insurance company that they're not responsible, or has it all been verbal?
No. It's in verbal by adjuster. I should request that, am I?
Yeah, you should request that, and at the same time, get your own insurance company involved.
Okay. And then, meanwhile, I go ahead and pay deductible for my insurance, and then fix the cars. I mean, then I'm even going to rent her the car for her. It's amazing how this kind of insurance company exists.
Yep. Yeah, get your own insurance company involved, and maybe if you don't get a quick answer, get an attorney to file a claim for you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. All right.
Appreciate it.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law, and I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. If you want to call the show, it's 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Rob in Tampa. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Attorney Pippin, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, my
I
pleasure.
I had a general question. Yeah, great. I had a general question about wills. My wife and I purchased a package a little while ago with some forms in them for wills. It was from U.S. Legal Forms. My question is, do we need to have those reviewed by an attorney or notarized for them to be 100% completed and legal, or how does that process work?
Well, first of all, the answer would be no, but then you don't have any insurance that you did it correctly. So if you want an attorney's opinion about whether you did it correctly or not, it wouldn't hurt to have a review. An attorney does not have to witness or notarize the documents for them to be legal. So, I mean, you could have two lay people be a witness in a notary that you find somewhere. The witnesses have to be, you know, over 18 and so forth. I mean, there are some requirements about, and the witnesses have to be in the presence of one another. And if you're going to have it notarized, the notary has to be there to see all of the parties sign in the presence of one another. I mean, there are some rules like that to be followed. So you had a will. Did you have a trust form or just the will forms?
Just the will forms.
Okay, so you know your will. If you and your wife own everything jointly, the will is going to go through probate upon the second death. So you're aware of that, I guess, right?
I'm not, no. So is that where the trust form would come in?
Yeah, that's where a trust would come in.
Okay.
And really, if you're going to do a trust, I think you really need an attorney to guide you through it and how to get assets in the trust and what goes in the trust and what doesn't. I mean, there's a lot to having a really good estate plan that avoids probate, avoids guardianship, and you don't make mistakes as to what you put in the trust, what you keep out, and so forth.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And that's my concern, that God forbid something happens, and we're not here to help, you know, our son, that would be, yeah, that'd be an issue. So that,
is your
that's
son,
helpful.
Is,
I appreciate that.
Is your son a minor?
He is.
Well, see, there's the other thing. You can't really give money directly to a minor, so now you've forced a guardianship for court. Proceedings for the court to supervise the money through a guardianship, and you could avoid that with a trust as well.
Okay. This is what I need to know.
All right.
I appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for calling. That's a great question. Thanks a lot. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Hey, ask questions. You know, you don't know what you don't know. How's that for saying? You don't know what you don't know, and you can get in trouble with what you don't know. Let's go to Kathy in South Carolina.
Yes. Good morning. I have a question about.
Hey, are you calling? Are you calling? Are you calling from South Carolina?
I am. I'm actually on the road from Asheville, North Carolina, to Columbia, South Carolina.
And what are you listening to? Are you listening to the show right now?
Yes, I am.
And you're listening to it on what?
Boy, I'm not sure. I'm traveling, and I'm not sure it's an AM station. I'm not sure exactly. Wait a minute. Let me see if I see. 600.
Okay, you're listening to the Jacksonville station, WBOB 600.
Yes, I am.
All right, well, great. In Asheville, North Carolina.
Yes, between Asheville and I'm just south of Spartanburg right this second.
Very, very good. Well, thanks for calling. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead and start your question again for me.
Okay. I just wondered if my father died in 03 or 04.
In what state?
In Florida.
Okay.
And survived by my stepmother, and there was my stepbrother, and then my two siblings that are survived. When he died, the will said, you know, sell everything, divide everything equally. Within 17 months, my stepmother changed the will, cut my sister and brother and I out, and just willed everything to her son.
Mm-hmm.
Do stepchildren have rights to probate or have a chance in Florida to rectify the will that my father had?
Okay, here's the thing. When your father died, there's a chance that he and his wife owned everything jointly.
Correct.
Which meant that when he died, everything went to her, and all of the provisions in his will really didn't mean anything.
Okay.
So because of jointly held with the right of survivorship, the assets went to her, and she changes her will to do whatever she wants to now because they're 100% her assets.
Correct. So, pretty much, it's whatever her wishes are.
Yep, because now that they were her assets and she had the right to change her will, is basically the
answer. I got you. Okay. Okay. Well, I appreciate that very much.
All right. Well, now you know. All right. Thanks. Let's go to Roland. All right. Let's go to Roland in Sarasota.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Roland.
I have a question for you. Both my wife and I have full-time jobs where we have 401ks. I also have a consulting business right now that's under a sole proprietorship. Her 401k is pretty awful. What I was thinking about was incorporating and having the money go directly into our corporation so that I could create a 401k for her that was better than she has at work.
Okay, can she take the money out of her 401k at work now?
No, but that's not a concern. What I'd rather do is just not have her put any more into it and just have maybe pay a salary through my consulting business that she can dump. I know you can dump up to 100% of it in as long as you don't go over the limit.
Is the 401k at work, is that a matching deal or something?
No, I mean, it matches about 1% total when you hit the limit.
So it's a 401k that you set up yourself with the company, but they don't. They only match it 1%, so it's all your own money in there?
No, that's with her current one. With mine, I'd be setting up a one that with either match or allow, you know, whatever rules I wanted to set up for that. It'd probably be either through Vanguard or Fidelity, one of those that have the low small business account.
Okay. Is she going to actually do any work for you at the corporation?
She'd probably be doing some. She would be helping with some of the reporting and stuff like that.
Okay. So your question is whether or not you can set up, make her an employee.
Make her an employee, yeah, and because it's...
Well, how many other employees do you have?
No, it'd just be me and her.
Okay.
And I'd pretty much like to take most of that money and put into her 401k. And most of the money coming in through the consultant.
Well,
so if I bring in,
I think you can do that. As to how much you can put in there, you would, you know, the person that helps you set up the 401k plan would go over all that with you as to how much can be contributed to it.
All right.
But yeah, I think you can certainly make her an employee, and you can certainly have a company 401k plan, and you certainly can put money into it. So those are all yeses on that. How much you can put in there might be a different issue, but that would be worked out with the person that helps you set up the 401k plan.
Okay. Because it doesn't really, as long as that's what my question was. As long as I made her an employee, we could put the money from there in. But I'd rather do it that way than put it into her work one.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, that was the question. Didn't know if I could go. I was looking at different ways of trying to help her.
Yeah, my advice would be just get some professional help that helps you set up the 401k plan.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Let's go to Darlene in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Darlene.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can. What station are you listening to?
Oh, 102.1. And I'm on my way to Tampa, so I'm thinking that might be where it is. I'm sorry, I'm not sure.
Okay, that's okay. Fine.
Okay. Okay, this is my question. So my mom passed away, and I was her power of attorney. I know that once I became her power of attorney, once she passed away, the power of attorney is null and void. At the time that she passed away, I was on her bank account, and I had the card, PIN number, and everything because I was taking care of her business. So once she passed away, the bank froze the small amount of money that was there and said that I needed to get a legal document in order for them to take the whole off of the money. I can't think of the name of the document, but when I read it, it kind of alluded to the fact that if I provided that document to the bank, I have to be careful because then I may be responsible for other debts that she may owe.
All right, so if the bank account, if the bank account upon your mother's death, the power of attorney became void, the bank account became an asset in her estate, the only way you can get that asset is get what the bank is referring to. It's called a letter of administration.
That's it,
yeah. Yeah, so to do that, you have to follow. Did your mother have a will?
No, she did not have a will.
Okay, so you have to open what's called a statutory probate proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask just a couple of questions. Your mother, was your dad living or her husband alive, or did she have a husband? She a widow?
No, my father passed away. She's a widow.
And how many children are there?
There's two. All of us are adults, of course, but it's five children altogether. Five children.
Okay, since there was no will, three of the five have to consent to the appointment of somebody as the personal representative of the estate. So if you have if you have two other votes in the family, you could become the personal representative.
Okay, so that's easy enough.
So
okay.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so then you follow up. Once you get the consent of at least two other siblings to be the personal representative, you file a petition to the court. Now, you're going to have an attorney help you with this, I think. You file a petition to the court to open the probate proceeding, get you appointed the personal representative, and issue the the letters of administration.
Okay, that's good enough. But I just wanted to make sure that once that happens, the hospital bills that incurred that I had nothing really to do with, because I kind of came in on the tail end after she signed all of, mm-hmm. you know, gave the hospital permission to treat her, would I then be responsible for those bills?
You'd be responsible to the extent of the estate, not personally.
Got it. Okay.
A lot of times, hospitals can be negotiated with to reduce the bill.
Okay. Okay.
That's a very common thing. Well, do you have any idea how much money is in the account?
Yes, I do. It's only $1,300. It's only enough for her headstone, to be honest with you. It's not a lot of money.
Well, there's a way that you could probably get to $1,300 without a probate proceeding. It's called a probate without disposition.
Mm-hmm.
So, was her funeral bill $1,300 or more?
No, it wasn't. I paid for it. It was $7,000.
Okay, so it was more than $1,300. So what you do is you take the paid funeral bill with a death certificate to the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
And they will do a low cost proceeding without an attorney to get you reimbursed for your funeral expenses if it's under $6,000.
Oh, okay. And I have the receipt and everything. I just looked at it last night.
Yep. So that should work for you.
Okay. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. My
Thanks
pleasure.
So
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Mark in Haines City. Mark, are you there?
Joe, thank you for taking my call.
Now, what station are you listening to this morning?
Haines City,
90.3 FM,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Joe, I need some direction on taking guardianship. My wife and I taking guardianship of my 24-year-old Down's syndrome son.
Well, you need to hire a guardianship attorney to file a petition to have you appointed the guardian.
Okay.
I mean, that's pretty much you have to do that. Is the child at the position where they, well, how old is it? 24. So are they working or anything?
No.
Okay.
No.
Are they able to understand? I know there are different levels of.
Pretty much full time care.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't communicate real well.
And are there assets in the child's name?
Not to any great extent. No.
Are you getting government benefits?
No.
Is someone asking you to show that you've been appointed the guardian to make any decisions or anything?
Looking at some medical issues.
Yeah. Yeah, so you need to, I have a guardianship attorney, but they over in Pinellas County, and they don't do cases in Polk. But
yeah.
I could help you find one. I mean, I could help you find an attorney in Polk County that does guardianship.
Sure, okay.
So just contact my office during the week, and I'll try to help you do that.
Okay, appreciate you.
All right, thanks. All right, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're about halfway through the show. If you have a legal question, give us a call. It's 877 is the number for the radio station call this morning. 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. I was asked to speak and host an event at the Sun City Center Chamber of Commerce this past Tuesday. What a great event that was. Let me just share with you. About 75 people showed up. This was hosted by 96.3 FM Community Sun City Radio Station in Sun City Center, of course. And this was my third appearance there. It's like a yearly thing now, I guess, where they have a meet the host of a radio show. So I've been asking an attorney now for 34 years, so I get to come over there once a year. Radio station promotes it like crazy. So the Chamber of Commerce is right next door to my office in Sun City Center. So we had about 75 people there filling up the room at the Chamber of Commerce building. So I started the presentation by talking a little bit about the radio show, but almost immediately went into, you know, what I really like to do. I could talk. I could give a little talk here about legal topics for the next hour or 20 minutes. But let's see if you have any questions. I mean, let's just turn this into an Ask an Attorney presentation. So for the next 65 minutes, there's like one question after another. I never really got to give my little talk I was going to give. But it was, I think it was better. I mean, it was educational, somewhat entertaining at times. And just 65 minutes of nothing but straight, you know, hands went up. I couldn't even get to all the questions. So what a great event. If you need a speaker for your group, it could be a church group. It could be just a coffee meeting every week at where you live. It could be a Kiwanis Rotary. I had a huge event for here in Jacksonville not too long ago over at Marsh Landing Country Club to a big group. If you need a speaker, I don't charge anything for this. I really enjoy doing it. All you have to do is to contact our office. The toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800. This is the office number. If you want to make an appointment or arrange for a speaker, 1-800-226-3529. Let's go to Julio. Julio.
Hi, yes. How you doing?
Or Julio. It's Julio.
Yeah, same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah, in English, Julio.
And where are you calling from?
Well, I live in Sebring, but I listen to 90.3 every day, every morning, every afternoon, my station.
Okay.
Right now, I'm in Kissimmee.
Kissimmee, all right. What can we do for you?
Oh, well, about 5 years ago, give it 10, I had my house modified. You know, like they had the problem with the, like the government was giving money to the banks to do things to the house to break it down. I did that. So now I'm 62 years old, so I'm looking to go reverse mortgage and live on my equity. But I call the bank, and the bank is saying that I got to give them 25% of my equity before I do anything. And that was not the deal when I went to the office, and we made that commitment. Now, I don't have a writing, but when I did it, the paperwork is so big, I can't read all that. But I know one thing for sure. They said that the money will be forgiven that they took off. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, the four corners of the document you sign will probably control what's in writing. So if you have a hard time understanding all the paperwork that you sign, which is understandable, you need to have an attorney go over and review it with you so you can see what you actually did and what you committed to in writing.
Right. Like I said, I mean, I do listen to your station every morning and afternoon, and I always try to catch your number from your office, which I got it now.
All right, very good.
I want to find make an appointment so I can go see you.
Do you live, you don't live in Sola Vida by any chance, do you?
No, I live in Hinds County, Sebring.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, right off of Cole County.
All right, well, just give us a call. I'll be glad to talk to you further.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Greg in Jacksonville.
Yeah, hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. And wow, isn't that Jacksonville signal traveling pretty far today?
Yeah, to Asheville, North Carolina, man. That's something else.
That's pretty far. Well, anyways, I'm calling about, I have a situation with my sister where my mother had passed away, maybe 10, 12 years ago. And my sister had taken her to the attorney to have the estate drawn up, and in that estate, all of the boys and one adopted sister was excluded from anything from the estate. So everything went to my sister when my mother passed. Well, you know, time has gone by, and over time we've learned certain things. One of them is that my mother, when she was during all of this, was recommended to see a psychiatrist because she was had emphysema and she had other medical problems. And we didn't learn this till much, much later. And then we found out that there's old pictures and film of my dad during World War II. And anyways, my sister is not, she's sold off all the assets and used up all the money, so there's nothing left there. But these pictures are sentimental, and I'd like to give them to my daughter, and I think my other two brothers would probably want these items as well, but she is refusing to give these up, and she's, you know. So I don't know what can be done, if anything, at this late stage.
Thomas, I think that if your mother died 11, 12 years ago, I think it's time is run, and I think it's probably too late to try to do anything.
Okay, so there's no way to force my sister to give up those photos and film.
So she's she has no relationship with any other family member?
She has some, but she's just very vindictive and cruel.
Does she have children of her own?
No.
Do you know what she's...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, if she died without a will, the siblings would get all that stuff back by statute of law if she wasn't married and had no children.
My sister.
Yeah.
Right. Well, she's alive and...
Yeah, well, no.
But... I think she does have a will, and she's willed them... in the event of her death to my nephew, but that's the extent of that.
Is the nephew friendly with everyone else?
Yes, but...
well, I'm just... I know. I think you've waited too long. 11 to 12 years, I mean...
Okay.
Basically, when someone does a will and they're under the influence of someone else when they're preparing the will, the most common reasons to contest a will are undue influence or incompetence when the will was made. Those are the two most common reasons. So it sounds like she was unduly influenced by your sister, and if the sister was present during the time of the making of the will, that's a good case. But however, you can't wait 11 to 12 years to bring that action.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
All right. Sorry.
Yeah, no. I mean, I appreciate the information.
All right.
Great show.
All right. Thank you very much. All right.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Thomas in Largo.
Well, good morning to you. Thank you for all the advice you give every week.
Well, my pleasure. What can we do for you?
Divorce occurred. Father passed away. Sure, I inherited everything. It's not part of the divorce. I sold the home, and so to protect myself of a couple, about 20 grand, about 28 actually, I went ahead and I... buddy of mine, big shot government kind of a guy, housed the monies just so that there couldn't be any repercussions. Anyhow, I stashed some cash.
Okay.
And so I wired it to him.
Wired it to who?
Wired it to the guy here in Florida to house the money until I got my life back together.
Okay.
And I
was this a professional?
Anymore.
Was this a professional guy?
No.
Oh, I see.
A friend.
Oh, a friend.
Well, we'll see. But then I've made many attempts to obtain the money. He's out of the country right now and has been. He's NSA. And anyhow, so he took care of the cash, and he was going to hold on to it till I was ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're looking at almost 72 months of going by.
And did he ever tell you what he did with the money, where he put it or anything?
Can't obtain it. He did, for my safety net, his son down in Miami what if something happened to you? Don't worry about it. My son in Miami is aware that if anything happens to me, that I owe you the money. Nothing in writing, just verbally on that one.
Have you talked to the son?
Yeah, numerous times, and apparently that the son is estranged from the father.
So the son doesn't know anything about this money?
He's aware of the monies and all. He just says, hey, I don't have any contact. Why are you bothering me with this?
Is there a paper trail from you to this fellow that you...
Wire from my financial institution to his.
Is there any commentary around it, though? What's to be done with it?
Negative.
Well, I don't know. And how long ago did this happen?
72 months. 3 years.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. No. Take that back. What would that be? 36 months.
Yeah, that's 6 years.
3 years is what it is total.
Okay, 3 years. All right, so 3 years would be 36 months, yeah. So,
right.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like to me you've got a big problem here, because if you sue him asking for the return of the money, they're going to ask for some documentation that, you know, he could say, for example, this was a gift. And then what are you going to say? I mean, it'll be all verbal at that point. You have a wire transfer from you to him, but no explanation, no commentary, no written agreement, nothing in writing. So then it's going to be based on a verbal battle, and then it's a matter of you get before the judge in court. It's going to be a matter of proving your case, basically. He's going to say you owed him the money. It was a gift. He's going to make up some story that would justify him keeping the money. I mean, that's just my guess.
Yeah, paying back a loan or something like that is logic. Gotcha.
So you got to come up. You probably have to hire an attorney to write him a letter, certified letter, and find him and serve him the papers and get him in a position, hopefully, where he would have to respond. And then have your little battle and take it from there, probably.
Okay, I guess big question is, because obviously I've been doing quite a bit of homework on this. Big question is, what kind of an attorney? Do you go to the Fed since it's wire? What type of an attorney that special? Who do I turn to?
Well, I think any type of litigation attorney, you know, or any collection attorney.
Okay.
You know, anybody can. How much money is it? $26,000?
$28,000.
$28,835. Yeah, so, you know, to file a lawsuit and all that, you're going to have to pay an attorney. They're probably not going to take it on a contingency basis based on the facts.
Okay, am I looking at maybe $5,000?
You might be.
Okay.
And then you got to find the guy and be able to serve him papers. I mean, that could, if he never comes back in the country, then that's going to be a real big problem.
Yeah, well, he'll come back because he's too family-oriented, but that's a whole different sidebar for the council.
And where does he live?
Miami Beach, off and on, but Lima, Peru.
So you're going to have to probably serve him in Miami and have the case there. So you probably need a Miami attorney.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, that sounds good. I appreciate it. I've been waiting to ask you this question for a month and a half.
All right.
So I appreciate you.
All right, now you got a little direction. Thanks.
That's right. Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We have about 12 minutes left in the show. If you have a legal question, all you have to do is to call the toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. So we met quite a few clients yesterday in Jacksonville. One of them came in and was telling me, I didn't get to see the document because they didn't have it with them, that they each had like a 200-page trust. And they were telling me that they were told that the trust could be greatly simplified, which it could. The average length, I would say, of the trust that I do are like 12 pages. So if you have a huge trust that you never really understood, sounds too complicated, maybe you had it done years ago when the tax laws were quite different, you can simplify a trust. It's just called a restatement. And it can be much simpler than a 200 200-page trust each. They each had a trust 200 pages. And I've seen these big books where these trusts are prepared by these companies, not necessarily an attorney. It might be have gone through an attorney, but they belong to an organization that creates trust of that size and nature. And so those really need to be reviewed because the client, most clients don't read those or understand them or get lost somewhere in the documents. They can. It's very good to have estate planning reviews about every 3 years because things do change. And it's good to update documents. This particular client, some people that had been named previously had died and so forth. And they needed to make some changes anyway. So you need to really review who your trustees are, maybe change that or update that or review that, at least so you understand who it is with a backup and who the beneficiaries are and make sure there haven't been any major changes in your thinking about who should be the beneficiaries of your estate. About every 3 years is good review. We don't actually charge for those review meetings. And a lot of people, you tell them what they did in the document a long time ago, and they've forgotten about it and don't want to do that now. So it really becomes necessary. If you want to contact our office for the free review or consult about estate planning, it's toll-free number 1-800-226-3529. 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. Let's go to Jim. Calling. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how are you today?
Where are you calling from? Oh, Pasco. Okay.
Hey, I have a question. My mother's in her 80s. About a year ago, she was in the care of my older sister. My father's passed away. Long story short, about a year ago when she was in the care of my sister, she was recommended to go have a psychological test done because she was suffering probably from dementia, they figured. Anyways, I have a sister that lives in Florida that took advantage of her years ago. Her and her husband ran up credit cards in her name and so forth. Well, of course, my mother had a breakdown and did not want to go have this test done for dementia. And somehow, after 6 years later, got in contact with my sister in Florida. Long story short, my sister convinced her to move in with her in Florida just about 8 months ago now, and has cut off all ties with any of the other siblings and my mother. Is there a way? Because our sister, we have not spoke to her and her husband since they ran up credit cards and everything in her name and then left for Florida. Anyways, is there a legal way we can get contact with my mother? Because if any of the siblings go to the house, they call the police.
All right, so is your mother competent? I know your sister has the power of attorney. Is your mother competent to make decisions on her own?
That's why when she was in Michigan a year ago, under the care of my sister, is when the competency thing came abroad and her doctor wanted her to go have a competency test and all that done. Well, of course she didn't do that.
She didn't do that. So there's no doctor opinion out there floating around that she's incompetent.
No.
And when the sister calls the police, did the police come and chase and not let people in the house?
We were informed the husband of my sister, the ones that ran up the credit cards in her name, he's informed my brother by texting because they won't answer a phone, informed him by texting that if anybody showed up to the house that they would have the police come and remove them. They've cut off her Facebook, her cell phone, so basically there's no way to get contact with her.
Well, I think what I would do if I were you is under those circumstances, I think I would report the matter to the Department of Children and Families. for them to go investigate the living conditions of your mother and whether or not she's been unduly taken advantage of. And the Department of Children and Families usually will go do that for you.
Oh, well, because we've had wellness checks done, but in the condition she was when she left, you know, she thought people were trying to get to her and blah, blah, blah. So that's why the doctors in Michigan were going to send her for that competency test.
Yeah.
But now you never know what they told her.
Well, she might very well, it sounds like to me there's a high probability that she's being taken advantage of.
But she has in the past. They ran up credit cards and everything.
Yeah, well, exactly. So maybe she needs to have a guardian appointed over her, which is not your sister or and her husband.
No, my brother has her power of attorney from years and years ago, but we don't even know if that's still effective.
Well, if he still has it, he can certainly try to exercise it. They don't become null and void necessarily when you create a new one.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, thank you. So-called Child Protective Service or Senior?
Yeah,
Service?
Department of Children and Families.
Okay, thank you.
And ask for an investigation. Think that your mother is being possibly taken advantage of. Credit card bills are being run up against her. They won't allow her family in as visitors. They're protecting her, and she hasn't been declared incompetent, and someone else in the family has a power of attorney, and you think there's possible abuse and fraud and maybe even theft involved.
Well, yeah, that was proven when the credit card thing came up.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were calling the house my mom lived in, calling for payment, and they went right to the point of saying, I'm sorry she passed away.
Yeah, well, that sounds all... Make a list of all the things you'd like to tell Department of Children and Family, because that certainly sounds suspicious.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. Let's go to Ed in Jacksonville.
Hello.
Hey, Ed.
Hello.
Hi, Ed.
Yes, how are you doing, sir?
Good.
Hey, I have a problem with a couple cell phone companies. Back in November the 15th, the salesman came in and told me I could save on my bill. This is a small business. I gave him my cell phone bill. He sat down and went through it all and told me he could save me like $150 a month. And I thought that was, and then they would also pay off. His company would also pay off my cell phones that were purchased by this through this other company. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This happened the 15th, and it turns out that the cell phone company that I was with had, you know, several of the phones that were locked. There were a total of 7 phones involved. They provided 6 because there was one person that had a 10X. These are all Apples, 10X, and they were going to provide XRs, this company that was making the sales pitch. And so I agreed to all of it. In there, we had 30 days to get it done. Well, it turns out that the company that had the phones locked, the other cell phone company had the phones locked, they wouldn't unlock until I paid my full bill off, which I did.
Hey, Ed, let me do this. Ed, let me give you my cell number, because I've got 1 minute left in the show, so I know you're going to run past that. So you can call me.
Let me get a pen. Okay.
All right.
I think we're set.
727-667.
Just a minute, 7-2-7-6-6-7-3-9-6-7. 3-9-6-7.
Yeah, Ed, I got to go, but thanks.
What time would be good for me to call you?
Oh, about 10 minutes or so.
Okay, yes.
All right,
thanks.
All right, thanks for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you'd like to contact our office, you got a toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529. Hey, you have a great weekend. So long.